You are listening to the Pinstripe Talk Podcast.
Welcome back to another edition of the Pinstripe Talk Podcast, powered by Delahanty Media. I'm your host, Nick Delahanty. We're excited to get back into things. As I mentioned on our last show, which aired a couple of days ago, we're going to have a lot more content coming your way. We hope that you continue to listen in and join in on our conversation. As always, find us on Twitter at Pinstripe Talk ND, my personal account at Nick_Delahanty. Search us up on Facebook by looking up Pinstripe Talk Podcast. Again, our podcast available on all podcasting platforms, the big ones. Of course, Apple Podcasts, subscribe, rate, and review the show on there. And Spotify, we're also on iHeartRadio, Google Play Music, TuneIn Radio, you name it, our show is there available for you. Doesn't it feel weird that we finally have some real baseball to talk about? And these teams in Major League Baseball are starting to finally report to their summer camp, and we're starting to get the ball rolling. Now, obviously, the way the coronavirus has been impacting our world, there's no guarantees, but it's promising to see guys starting to report to camp. So I thought that it would be a good idea to take this show and do an early projection on the Yankees opening day 30-man roster. And now things could change. Obviously, players can opt out of playing if they're concerned about their health or the health of their families and whatnot, which is totally understandable. But I got a little bit of a head start with this for Bronx Pinstripes. As you guys know, I'm a writer for them. And if you haven't done so already, I suggest that you check out all our great content, including the stuff I write. A lot of great writers, a lot of great insight. I think that it's definitely worth your while. But if you noticed, and I posted it on our social media feeds, I projected the Yankees opening day roster. And I'm going to break down that roster for you on today's show. Just a little projection of what I think the Yankees opening day team is going to look like. And obviously things could change, injuries could happen, players could come into camp and really impress and earn a spot. So nothing is set in stone. But I'll kind of give you my reasoning behind some of the players that I chose for the Yankees opening day roster on this podcast. I definitely don't want to waste any time on this show. I want to get right into it. I'm excited to talk about actual Yankees news. So let's start from the pitching side of things. And like I said a little bit earlier, be mindful, we're projecting this roster, assuming that everybody is healthy. And of course, you can never assume these kind of things, but it is just for argument's sake. So on my roster, I kept 6 starting pitchers. And you might be a little confused as to why I kept 6. And your obvious players that are going to make the team are Gerrit Cole, Masahiro Tanaka, James Paxton, and then you have Jay Happ, a guy who's got a big contract. It's not worth keeping him off the roster, see what he could give you in that fourth starter role. Now, mind you, again, Luis Severino out for the year, placed on the 60-day injured list. He had Tommy John in February. There's no way he's coming back this year. And then Domingo Herman, he'll serve his 60-plus game suspension as long as the Yankee season goes. So we won't see Herman unless the Yankees decide to activate him for the playoffs, which I think at this point is going to be a long shot. The other 2 starting pitchers I kept on the roster are Jordan Montgomery and Jonathan Loaisiga. And I think ultimately Montgomery fills in as that 5th starter. I think that before he had Tommy John surgery, he had a lot of promise and the Yankees had high hopes for him. And pitching out of that 5th spot in the rotation could be a good spot for him. You know, you're matching up with guys that are probably of his caliber or even probably at a lower level. So the matchups are probably going to be there on a somewhat regular basis. You're going to obviously match up with 1s and 2s at some point. But for the most part, as a 5th starter, Montgomery is definitely not a slouch. You know, he could definitely hold his own, especially given his little track record he had in the bigs earlier. And if the Yankees' offense stays healthy, they're going to produce runs for him. So he shouldn't be an issue for the Yankees if he could stay healthy. And then I kept Jonathan Loaisiga, who, I always say it, I project him to be a reliever down the road. I think this kid has electrifying stuff. Not to compare him to Dellin Betances, but I kind of see that electric this out of the fastball and the different pitches that he does hold. So I think that Loaisiga sticks. I think that the Yankees will stretch him out a little bit early on in case you never know what's going to happen. So it's good to keep him fresh and ready to go. But I do see him fulfilling a bullpen role for this team and being another very useful arm that Aaron Boone could turn to. Other people that, or players I should say, that I give consideration to are Michael King, obviously Davey Garcia, Clark Schmidt, but I think those guys are going to stay at the team's minor league camp per se and get some more work in and continue to develop. I don't think the Yankees are in any rush to rush them to the big leagues, especially given that they're competing for a World Series title in 2020. So rushing them up doesn't make a lot of sense. So that leaves me with six starting pitchers on this roster. One transitions to the bullpen. So you could make the case that I'm actually keeping 11 relief pitchers with Loaisiga. And the first couple of names are obvious. You have Chapman, Britton, Ottavino, Green, Canley, Sessa, Holder. I feel like those guys are locks. I think that off of last year, they're very valuable. The Yankees obviously know what they have with those top guys, especially. I mentioned that on our last show. Sessa's not a guy the Yankees seem to want to lose. If they wanted to get him off the roster, they would have got rid of him last year. He's out of options. He would have definitely gotten claimed by somebody, so they would have definitely lost him by a waiver claim or whatnot, or had to trade him, whatever the situation may have been. Jonathan Holder's another guy who had his ups and downs, but I think the Yankees are very high on what he has to offer and think that he could be a valuable piece out of the pen. And then along with Loaisiga, the last two spots I had were Tyler Lyons and David Hale. And remember, we saw Hale a lot last year. We see a lot of Hale over time. And it's just a guy that keeps coming back. He's just another player that the Yankees seem to really like, the veteran presence he brings to the table. So I expect him to make his stay in the Bronx, at least for the start of the season. And then Tyler Lyons, another guy, made 11 appearances for the Yankees last year. He just adds that extra left-handed arm in the bullpen. Yeah, obviously you have Chapman, but you're not going to be using Chapman in anything other than save situations or in tie games when you don't have save opportunities anymore. So to have another guy like Lyons who could come in and maybe get two or three lefties out is definitely going to help the Yankees bullpen save Britton a little bit. We know Britton could get righties and lefties out, so that is something that I felt was not as important to have, but adding the lefty amongst all the right-handed pitchers in the bullpen definitely didn't hurt. So that final spot went to Lyons. I think the bullpen's strong. You can make the case they're the best bullpen in the game, and in a shortened season, who's to say that this pen, if healthy, isn't going to be the difference maker for the Bronx Bombers in 2020. Then you go to position players, and I feel like other than one or two spots, this is very simple. And again, and I'm going to say this a couple of times through the show, and we're going to get to the outfielders, and we're going to talk about it a lot. Health is a very important factor here. It really is, because what we're seeing now isn't necessarily going to be the case in 3 weeks. You don't know if anybody's going to contact the virus, if anybody's going to get hurt. It's a shortened spring training. It's not your typical training methods. You know, it's new to everybody. So injuries are going to happen around the game, unfortunately. And hopefully the injury bug left New York last year. But from what we saw last year, literally anything is possible. So we just have to hope that they can stay healthy. But behind the plate, Yankees are going to keep two guys, and that's Gary Sanchez and Kyle Higashioka. As we know, Austin Romine left. He signed with Detroit over the offseason, so Higashioka will take over the backup catching duties. You have guys like Eric Kratz, Josh Stoll, Chris Iannetta, who will be with their quote-unquote minor league system, but those are guys that could fill in on an emergency basis or a need. So it's good to have some veteran depth that they can rely on, but to start the year, obviously, Gary Sanchez, if healthy, and Kyle Higashioka are the two that will man the Yankees pitching staff on a daily basis. Now, here's where I had a little bit of a dilemma, and not so much a dilemma, but I kept seven infielders. And the Yankees, if you saw their post regarding their 60-man roster, which is currently 58, they listed three players as infielders slash outfielders. So Miguel Andujar and Tyler Wade were both on that list. So I listed them as infielders. And the reason why is, number one, Andujar's played nothing but third base and a little bit of first base, and if you count what that is at first and spring and whatnot. And even though Wade could play anywhere, basically on the diamond other than catcher, probably first base. He's mostly a middle infielder who has seen some time at third and seems to excel defensively wherever the Yankees put him. I listed him as infielders. It doesn't really matter because obviously they take up roster spots, so I kept seven. And the seven I kept were Voit, Ford, LeMahieu, Urshela, Andujar, Torres, and Wade. Obviously, there's a lot of versatility there. LeMahieu could play multiple positions. I'm sure Urshela could play multiple positions. Andujar, the Yankees are seeming to shape him into a utility type of player defensively because his bat is so good. Gleyber Torres is going to be the everyday shortstop, but say the Yankees make a trade for a shortstop, Gleyber can move right back over to second base or third base depending on what the circumstances are. And then I mentioned Wade, a guy with a lot of versatility, a lot of speed, a lot of promise, just hasn't shown the ability to hit the big league level. This is a guy that I think is going to excel in this type of role. He'll get at bats. He'll play different positions on a somewhat daily basis. He'll get his chance in the lineup. But extra inning games, he's going to excel because he's going to be a very, very valuable pinch runner for the Yankees to use in close games or games where they need that run to win. So Wade's value goes up a little bit as the rules change for 2020. And the surprise here, and I said it was a little bit of a tough decision for me, was keeping Mike Ford. And I'll get into the outfielders in a few minutes, but I kept Ford due to the left-handed bat off the bench. I think having him, even though defensively he's really a DH or a first baseman, you got to like his left-handed bat in Yankee Stadium. And nothing against Clint Frazier. It came down to those two guys. And I'm sure with the way the Yankees have gone, Frazier will get an opportunity at some point. But to start the year, I just felt more confident having Ford's bat off the bench than holding on a roster spot for Clint Frazier where the opportunities may not present themselves. So that was a tough decision for me. Probably the toughest decision of them all, but Ford gets the edge over Clint Frazier, at least from my projection right away. And speaking of outfielders, we can now get into the actual outfielders. And other than considering Andujar and Wade as outfielders, I kept five on the roster. And one more time for you, I'm going to say it again. Don't get mad. Don't get annoyed. But if everybody is healthy, that's a big if, because they're saying Aaron Judge is healthy now. And obviously he's one of the outfielders. If he's healthy, he sticks. Aaron Hicks, who knows if he'll be ready for opening day. He had Tommy John surgery. There's a possibility that he won't even miss one game after having Tommy John surgery. That's incredible to me. He's a big piece for this Yankee team. Then you look at Giancarlo Stanton, another guy. Health is a big concern. This guy was the National League MVP. He gets a lot of crap on Twitter and he gets a lot of hate, but the guy could play baseball. The Yankees definitely need his bat healthy because that guy, in 60 games, he could arguably hit 20 homers. Like, that's how good Stanton is. I think that people need to give him respect where it's due. I think that the injuries have really clouded everybody's judgment on him. But I do think that Stanton is an MVP caliber player when healthy. And if he's healthy, he'll be a mainstay and a dominant force in the Yankees lineup this year. And then you have the veteran Brett Gardner. What more could you say about Gardy? He seems to just keep sticking around and finding a role on this team. He'll play some center. He'll play some left. He'll be a speed option when he's not playing off the bench. He's just that team leader, that clubhouse presence. Now that CeCe's gone, Gardner takes over as that veteran in the clubhouse. Just great for the organization. He's been nothing but a professional on and off the field. And I think that he's valuable both on and off the field for the Yankees, and they need him around. He's aging, but how nice would it be to send off Gardner with a World Series ring or two, at least one or two more than he already has, because remember, he's the last piece from the 2009 World Series team that we all so desperately want to see happen again, is that World Series championship coming to the Bronx. And then finally, my other outfielder is Mike Tauchman. We saw what Tauchman did last year. There's no way, shape, or form, unless he's hurt, that he doesn't make the opening day roster for this team. Defensively, he's better than Frazier. Offensively, he showed he could stick. So he'll get at bats. He might not see a lot of playing time early, especially if the other guys are healthy. But who's to say that Aaron Boone doesn't mix and match to keep those guys healthy for the long haul? So he could be a valuable option for the Yankees off the bench. Overall, my roster broke down like this. I had 16 pitchers. You remember I had the 5 starters, 11 relievers, and then your 14 position players, 5 outfielders, 7 infielders, 2 catchers. Breaks down to 30 men. And obviously, let's just call a spade here. This team has a lot of depth. There's a couple of guys that you could throw in the mix that you could make the case deserve a spot on this opening day roster, or could challenge for a spot on this opening day roster. If you look at the infielders alone, Estrada is a guy that we saw a little bit of. Who's to say he doesn't earn a utility role? Or a Matt Duffy, who the Yankees just signed, a guy who seems to look like more of a depth piece at this point, but who's to say that he doesn't really deserve a chance to be at the big league level with this team at some point? And again, the pitchers, the Yankees have a lot of pitchers on their player pool, and it shouldn't be a surprise to anybody because of the amount of pitchers that they do go through. During a season, it's a grind. You're going to need fresh arms. You're going to need guys to step in certain situations. You're going to have injuries. As much as you hate to say it, you're going to have a situation where guys are going to have to step up. But you know your organization is in a good spot when these type of decisions are tough. If you look at the Yankees 60-man player pool, I arguably can make a case for 35 to 40 guys being on the opening day roster. That says just how talented this team is. And yeah, it's going to cut down to 28 players in 2 weeks and 26 players after 4 weeks into the season. It's going to be a difficult challenge for them to maneuver the roster, but it's a good problem to have. Depth is never a bad thing. You look at how many guys they shuffled in and out last year, and just how many guys made an impact on the team, and it just seemed like every day another guy was being that impactful player. I can't honestly name you a player that was productive the entire year for this Yankee team last year. Yeah, you can make the case for maybe a Gleyber Torres or a DJ LeMahieu that were around for the majority of it, a Brett Gardner. But it seemed like every single day a new name was getting thrown into the fire. And not only was it fun to watch because you didn't know who was going to impact on a daily basis, but they were still winning games. A lot of teams would fold when you see guys like Stanton, Judge, Hicks. You can name them. Andujar, Sanchez. A lot of these guys missed a ton of time last year. And that's just talking from position players. That's not even looking at the pitchers yet. And we saw how many pitchers went in and out, how many guys came in, made an impact on this team. So depth in this situation is definitely a good thing to have. And you hope that you don't have to really dig so far into that talent and depth, but that you could stay healthy and effective. And when you do need those guys, they do come up and they figure it out and they step up in those situations that you need them to step up in. So again, it's a tricky thing to maneuver. And for the Yankees, I mentioned it on our last show, when you're making your player pool, you have to make the most out of every single one of those 60-man roster spots because you never know what's going to happen. That's why you don't see guys like Jason Dominguez and Anthony Volpe, guys who have a lot of promise and a lot of talent but are still young and not experienced enough in the system getting on the roster. Yeah, that's cool for a Baltimore Oriole or a Miami Marlins to say, look, you know, we're bringing up our top prospect or the guy we just drafted 3 weeks ago to our big league camp. We want to see what he's got. That's cool in those situations. But when you're chasing World Series title rings, I'm sorry, but that doesn't work. So every team is different, and the Yankees have World Series bound goals in mind. And that's what you have to remember here. And that's why I think this opening day roster not only gives them flexibility in terms of position players, but also provides them some depth in the bullpen and depth in terms of arms that they can rely on. Because let's remember, if you think Gerrit Cole is throwing anything more than 5 innings on opening day, you're out of your mind. If you think that you're going to see the Yankee starters go deep into games that first or second week into the season, I'm sorry, you got a rude awakening coming. It's not going to happen. But over time, that will happen. And over time, you just hope that you don't overtax your bullpen. And that's why those extra arms, especially the first 2 weeks of the season, come in handy. And just for argument's sake, when the Yankees do have to break it down to 28 men, there are some guys that you can option off that big league roster, and it's not going to really make a total impact on your team. Yeah, you don't want to lose an arm in the bullpen or an extra guy off the bench, but they're movable pieces. And that's the good thing about it. You have your top flight guys that are obviously going to stick around, but you do have some wiggle room depending on the situation to see who you want to keep on and off the roster. So only time will tell what the projections will look like. And I gave you mine. I hope you check out the article on BronxPinstripes.com. It's listed as Projecting the Yankees Opening Day Roster. That's the title of it. You'll see a nice picture of Gerrit Cole that I used. And again, the Bronx Pinstripes team has a lot of great writers. As the season comes closer, check out my work on there. Check out everybody else's work. There's a lot of good content, a lot of good podcasts too. You love listening to my talk about Yankees, tune into the different shows we got brewing on there. You definitely won't be disappointed. You'll definitely love joining in on those conversations. But again, another episode of the Pinstripe Talk podcast is in the books. Another fun one here in the Delahanty Media Studio. I am beyond thrilled to be talking Yankees baseball. I hope that you're all in that same boat. And again, it's getting closer. I'm still anxious. I want to see it happen. I want to see a season. But I don't want to get too overhyped because I know what the world is going through. And I hope that not only can we get baseball and a full season of it, or a full 60 games in postseason, but I hope that the world starts to get a cure for the COVID-19 virus and that everybody starts to get healthy and safe and we start to get back somewhere to a norm. But again, follow us on Twitter at Pinstripe Talk ND, my personal account at Nick_Delahanty. We love talking Yankees baseball. We hope that you join in on our conversation. You like listening to me rant? Listen to the Let's Debate podcast, which airs every Thursday night at 8 o'clock Eastern Time on our Facebook page. Search us up, Let's Debate Podcast. Myself and my co-host, Kyle Delahanty, talk about all the latest in the world of sports. And now that sports are going to be live, we got a lot of topics to talk about. We got a lot of cool things lined up for you guys, so make sure you check them out. And we're only a couple of shows in. I believe we're 12 shows in now, going every week. But it's been a fun ride so far. And as time goes on, Delahanty Media Corporation is looking to expand. We have a lot of exciting things planned for all of you guys, and we hope that you continue to tune in and support our shows. The Pinstripe Talk podcast is also available on all podcasting platforms. Find us on Apple Podcasts, Google Play Music, Spotify, TuneIn Radio, iHeartRadio. You want to hear our show? You can listen to it multiple times on different streams. Just make sure you do us a couple of solids, right? Subscribe to our show. Whatever site you use, subscribe. It helps our show. Rate the show. Give us those 5 stars. We love when we get those 5-star reviews. And comment. Leave those reviews. Let other people know what they're missing. Help us spread the brand. Help us spread the word. We appreciate everybody listening in. Once again, this is the Pinstripe Talk podcast powered by Delahanty Media. I am your host, Nick Delahanty. Continue to look out for more content in the upcoming weeks as we get closer to opening day. It looks like July 23rd, Cole versus Scherzer. But as more information comes, we'll be here breaking it all down for you. Until next time, always remember, let's go Yankees. Keep those pinstripes on. Get them ready. I got my Aaron Judge 99 pinstripe jersey ready to go. I got my Yankee player t-shirt jerseys ready to go. I am excited, although I can't get to the stadium probably for the year because of the virus. I'm still going to be watching every night on the YES Network because I'm that excited. I can't wait for baseball to get rolling. So until next time, we'll talk to you soon. Everybody take care. And thank you again for listening to the Pinstripe Talk podcast powered by Delahanty Media.